Welcome to the online ministry of Pacific Beach United Methodist Church, located in beautiful San Diego, California. Pacific Beach UMC is a member of the Reconciling Ministries Network and welcomes persons of all ages and backgrounds for worship, study, and service opportunities. More information can be found on our website at pbumc.org. May you be enriched in the hearing of these words, and may you receive and enjoy God's blessing.
It just feels like resurrection's in the air to me. Like, have you felt that too? It just feels like every part of my brain and my being, you know, and maybe it's because I went to an Easter sunrise service today. Maybe it's because we had a 9 o'clock worship service today. It could be any number of things about why resurrection is in the air. The Avengers movie is coming out. All those heroes that turn to dust, I want to know what's going to happen because I want them to come back. Amen. I heard it. Maybe that's not the resurrection you were thinking about. Maybe that's not the one. Maybe you were thinking about a different one. Maybe there's a different resurrection story that's on our minds. That one too. We're not strangers to stories of resurrection. We love the stories of resurrection. It's no mystery that Disney spent $1 billion or so acquiring a comic book company. I tell you what, when my cousins were reading comic books when I was a kid and I thought it was ridiculous, no offense to my comic book reading friends, it just wasn't for me. I had no idea that it would become this behemoth that it is now. I had no clue. Because we love our heroes. Don't we love our heroes? And especially we love our heroes that are those with like those incredible abilities, right? Those ways that surpass sort of our understanding of physics and stuff. I was talking to a couple of our youngest members of the church today or worshipers in the church today because they got new shoes for Easter and they got the kind of light-up shoes. So they showed them to me today. They're very excited about their light-up shoes. And so I asked them, do they make you fly? They laughed at me too. Yeah. Well, because, like, isn't that a hero thing to be able to fly? I told them, if you can find light-up shoes that help you fly, I'm there. I'll get a pair right now. I'm stuck with my rainbow shoes today, but that's all right. They don't help me fly, so I'll keep looking. But we do like our heroes. Like, we look at those who are heroes, and we have a tendency to idolize in ways. I'm not saying that's a bad thing. I just think that culturally, we like our heroes. If they're heroes from comic books, if they're heroes from our favorite sci-fi series, which is obviously Star Wars, you know, any way that we like our heroes, We have a tendency to idolize those folks. And again, that's not a bad thing. It's part of our culture. It's part of who we are. It's part of why Disney spent billions of dollars on a comic book company and then a sci-fi company, right? Because Disney owns them both. I'm not getting any credit for Disney for showing this. All right. But sometimes what we don't pay attention to with our heroes who we want to see come back no matter what they face, sometimes what we don't pay attention to is the journey that got some of those folks there. Sometimes we forget about those things because we have a tendency to want to remember those heroes at those most triumphant times. You know, my family and I were preparing for the next Avengers movie to come out, so last night we watched the first Avengers movie. And of course, we celebrated when the Hulk took the bad guy and flung him around the room because we want to remember him at those ultimate times, those triumphant times. But there was a journey to get there. With any of our heroes, whether they're comic book heroes or sci-fi heroes or the heroes that we think about that we know in our lives, sometimes we want to only think about them at those triumphant and ultimate times and maybe not as much about the journey that it took to get there. You know, throughout this season of Lent and then leading up to Easter Sunday today, we've been exploring the world-famous musical, Jesus Christ Superstar. How many of you last Easter watched it on NBC when it was live, the live musical? I did. It was incredible. Yeah. That's why I say it's world-famous, because at least six people in the room have seen it. But it's in front of people again, and that's why we had this series, exploring a different song every week and what it might remind us about. And one of the things that it reminds us about is the story of Jesus, that last week, particularly in Jerusalem. But in all of this, you know, it's Jesus Christ Superstar. It's this sort of heroism that we make about Jesus. And whether we think about Jesus in sort of the triune sort of Christian way, whether we think about Jesus as a prophet, however we might think about Jesus, we have a tendency to place him on that hero mantle and not always think about all the things that it took for him to be where he is, to get to the places that he would get. We like to think about Jesus triumphant and resurrected. And sometimes it's not as fun to think about Jesus when he gets angry and turns over a bunch of tables in a temple. We want to think about Jesus triumphant, glowing in the ways that we think about and all the light shining out of Jesus, and we don't necessarily want to think about him being tempted in the wilderness. We like to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus, but it's harder to think about him praying in a garden, maybe with tears streaming from his eyes, saying, "Please don't make me do this." We want to think about that triumphant Jesus. And that's a natural thing. That's not a bad thing. But maybe it's good if we think about the journey with any of our heroes. So I'd like to turn your attention to Scripture for just a moment to hear from the Gospel of Luke. You know, the resurrection story is told in all four of the Gospels, and we'll hear it from the Gospel of Luke today.
Luke chapter 24, verses 1 through 12. Very early in the morning on the first day of the week, the women went to the tomb, bringing the fragrant spices they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they went in, they didn't find the body of the Lord Jesus. They didn't know what to make of this. Suddenly, two men were standing beside them in gleaming bright clothing. The women were frightened and bowed their faces toward the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He isn't here, but has been raised. Remember what he told you while he was still in Galilee, that the human one must be handed over to sinners, be crucified, and on the third day risen again." When they remembered his words, when they returned from the tomb, they reported all these things to the 11 and all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. Their words struck the apostles as nonsense, and they didn't believe the women. But Peter ran to the tomb. When he bent over to look inside, he saw only the linen cloth. Then he returned home, wondering what had happened.
I'll be honest with you, sometimes I get on my soapbox. And this particular soapbox is about how sometimes people have trouble with the idea of women in leadership in churches. When it seems to me, if I just read this as it is, it seems like women were the first people to proclaim the gospel. Preach it, come on. It was Mary Magdalene, it was Joanna, it was Mary the mother of James, and those who were with them. And what did the men do? They didn't believe him. They cried. Well, I don't know about that part, maybe not. But it wasn't until Peter raced over there, or if you read the Gospel of John, Peter and the beloved disciple who raced over to the tomb so that they could see it for themselves before they could mansplain it. Getting off that soapbox now. Just a little tangent. This story is fantastic. It is almost beyond belief. And it is wonderful that Jesus is still the central character in this part of the story, even though he's not even in it. You notice that? There's all these names that come in this part of the story. Jesus' name is mentioned, but he's not there. And yet there's such power in his absence. There's such power. Maybe you know those people who are just, they're so present that whether or not they're even in the room, you're thinking about them. They have an impact on you. Maybe there's somebody in your life who's like that. Maybe not. Maybe you think of that person in sort of a hero kind of way. Because we like our heroes. We like our supernatural heroes, and we like the heroes that we get to talk to face-to-face and experience in our lives. But as I said, we don't always think about the journey that someone has gone through to get to where they are. Because we don't always like to think about that journey, because sometimes it's hard. And sometimes when we experience that small voice in the back of our head that reminds us that there's something that we can do, that invites us to be an active participant in the world or even an active participant in our faith, sometimes when we experience that, we sort of hesitate because we know that the journey might be hard for us too. Because we know that if we're called to something profound and prophetic in that way, that it's not always easy to get there. I mean, if it wasn't easy for Jesus, who are we to think it's going to be easy for us? And yet I suggest even, that for everyone, there's some urge, there's some call, there's some impetus, there's some small voice or strange warming of our hearts that urges us to be a positive impact on the world around us, that urges us to be a positive influence in our communities, large or small, that urges us to do something that's good and right, simply for the sake of it being good and right. And it's easy for us to set that aside because we know that sometimes the journey can be hard. You know, sometimes I think the church, like the institution of the church, wants to envision itself a bit as a hero. And frankly, I would say, even recognizing that standing up here, that in some ways I'm sort of the image of the institution, at least in this place, I would say that the church is wrong about that. That the church cannot envision itself as the shining hero, the light on the hill. At least not the institution. Because I tell you what, my call to be a servant leader in this congregation, in this community, is not from an institution, but from the God that I continue to believe in and continue to listen to and continue to hear and continue to follow. There's a great quote by a Christian author named Diana Butler Bass. She wrote in a book called Christianity After Religion. She wrote this, and thanks to my friend Adam who posted this quote online, reminded me of it. She writes this: "All of this makes me wonder if pews are misleading in churches. They trick people into thinking that Christians learn best by sitting quietly in rows, listening to lectures, and memorizing ideas about the faith. But churches should not be lecture halls. They should be more like a yoga class." Amen. Yeah, people last service reacted to that too. "They should be more like a yoga class, or better still, like my dance floor shop, a guild where a spiritual initiate becomes an apprentice, a novice, a journeyman or woman, and finally, a master. Unlike my family's floor shop, however, where the guild was ruled by assumption and inheritance, the contemporary guild of faith engages practices with intention, through imitation, and with a keen anticipation of a hope-filled future of peace and justice." What if the church looked like that? What if the church looked like a place where you could engage in your relationship with something or someone bigger than you? Where you could travel along that journey, not in such a way that you were filled with fear because the journey can be hard, but such that you were filled with hope because you weren't the only one on the road. What if the church was that place that was less focused about how many people are here on Sunday? Don't get me wrong, I like when people are here on Sunday. But what if the church was less focused on that and more focused on how can we together go on the journey that every single one of us is on together? That there's no one person who has any more authority than anybody else, but instead, we can journey together. We can learn together. We can wrestle together. We can struggle together. We can be wrong together, and we can be the light of hope and peace and joy and love together. What if the church looked like that? That's a church I'd go to. That's a church she'd go to. Is that a church you'd go to? So what does it look like? What does it look like to engage in that together? See, I think we got to all keep learning. I think that we have to admit all the stuff we don't know. And even the stuff we think we go is worth re-examining. And I'd like to give you an opportunity. I'd like to give you an opportunity to re-examine some of the stuff that maybe you already know. How many of you grew up going to church and saying the Apostles' Creed every week in church? Yeah. But how many of us really know what it says and what it means? How many? Oh, yeah. Denny went to Sunday school. You learned it. We have some resident Catholics in this congregation who I love, who keep me in line, and I'm grateful for that. But I'd like to invite you to explore that with me. Not right now, but over a few weeks. And I have a video that I'd like to show you about what we're going to be doing about the Apostles' Creed coming up. I believe in God, who created the universe and is still creating. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, who lived and died, who healed and taught, and who died and rose again. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the universal church, the forgiveness of sins, the life everlasting. Words like these have been spoken countless times in so many languages. But what does it mean to believe these things? How does it change us to believe these things? Our new sermon series is called We Believe, Exploring the Apostles' Creed, beginning on May 5th, right here at Pacific Beach United Methodist Church. I'll tell you what I struggle with is any faith leader who says that they have the absolute capital T, obvious, authoritative truth. Because I'll be the first one in this room as a maybe not the first one in this room, but I'll tell you right now as a leader in this congregation, I don't have that. But you know what I think? I think that we can get closer to it together. And so I ask if we can go on a journey together. I ask if we can learn together and wrestle together and struggle together and fail together and find hope and peace and joy and love together. That's the church I want to be a part of, and I hope that you'll join me. In fact, one more invitation to you, and that's just a moment of prayer, of meditation, of quiet, as you might hear how God might speak to you through this time of worship, of celebration, of Easter today, to know that whatever part of the journey we're on, that we're not alone, that we can seek out that opportunity to be people of faith and hope, perhaps even to be heroes together. Amen.
Friends, I invite you to join me in an attitude of prayer. Most gracious, most loving, amazing God, Lord, we come before you this afternoon just in awe. Lord, just starstruck by the ways in which we have encountered you in this space. Lord, for we know that it is within you that we live and move and have our being, and we know that it is within you, Lord, that we experience what it means to be in love, to encounter, Lord, the truest depth of love. As you made manifest and showed us, Lord, in the most perfect example in your Son, Jesus the Christ. someone who lived in ways that modeled a particular ministerial vision you have called us to. And Lord, it is this vision that we have gathered here today to celebrate. His overcoming of sin and death. Indeed, we look to Christ as our hero. And yet, Lord, we know that in the midst of this gaze we have upon Jesus, in the midst of the ways in which we encounter Christ in ourselves and in community, Lord, that we can forget, Lord, we can overlook his journey. We can overlook his struggles, Lord, we can forget all the things he had to do in order to create the community that surrounded him, in order to fulfill, Lord, his mission on earth as it is in heaven. And Lord, we know when we do this, we can just get wrapped up in Easter and forget about Good Friday. And Lord, we confess this. We ask, Lord, that you would remind us, Lord, of the journeys that we all have to go through, Lord, of how we are continued to grow and to mature and to become more Christ-like every day. And yet, Lord, we know that in the midst of this journey, you are with us, that you have surrounded us, Lord. So allow us to be made aware of the communities you have placed us within, Lord, the spaces that you have set aside for us to grow closer to you through relationship, Lord, with you through others. We ask, Lord, that you allow your spirit to work within us as we continue to change and grow and love and model, Lord, this resurrection love you have called us to today. Lord, we lift up the concerns of this particular community. Lord, we are mindful of those who are just being remembered today on this Easter Sunday, those who perhaps are our heroes of our families and our friends, those who have since passed, Lord, and went on to be with the ancestors. And yet, Lord, we know as we gather here in this space, we are so blessed to be in this safe sanctuary. And we are thinking, Lord, about those who are suffering, Lord, those who have, Lord, those who are devastated right now with the violence that have taken place in Sri Lanka. Lord, we don't know enough details. We don't know any real concrete details, but we do know is that people are suffering, that people have died, Lord, in this senseless violence. And Lord, we ask that you would be present in that space among those who are suffering, among those who have lost loved ones. And Lord, that you would work within the hearts and minds of those who have not only committed these acts, those who have created the space that this seemed like something to do, Lord, but with all those who believe violence to be the solution to any of their problems. Lord, we know you have called us to be a people of peace, a people of love. Allow us to embody this love and peace, Lord, as we lift those up who are suffering this morning. Lord, we pray for those who could not be here today. We ask that they might feel, Lord, your love through us as we depart this space. Allow us to be your hands and feet, Lord, that we can embody the resurrection of your Son, Jesus the Christ. Lord, following in the footsteps of the prayer he taught us to pray by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.